Now we've come to the time of our regular weekly, five times a week, Kahu Hour. And this morning we have a particular privilege in welcoming back Pastor Mark Blair from the Highly Church and his wife Dana. Bless them, they've been gone all summer and you're going to hear about that. The services at Highly Church are at 10:30 a.m. and at the Cohio Chapel is 9:30. But beginning October 2nd, there'll be the regular two services again at Highly, 8:30 and 11 in the morning. And I would remind folks also that there will be a prayer time just at the end of the Kahu Hour, just before 11. So if you have a prayer request or a praise report, call the station at 935-7434. And now, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dick. It's good to be back here this morning and to praise the Lord for his faithfulness. I'm here, not only is it going to be a Kahu Hour, but the Kahu and the Mama Kahu Hour. I have my wife, Dana, here.
Hello, it's good to be here this morning to share with you what the Lord is doing in the country of Uganda.
About a week ago, we have got back from a summer in Uganda, East Africa. And that is a country dear to our hearts. Two of our three children were born there, and we worked there for about 8 years. And we came back from there about 4 years ago, and the Highly Church granted us a sabbatical for this summer, and we were able to go and do missionary work for about 3 months in Uganda this summer. And we were very wonderfully blessed by the Lord, and we wanted to share a little bit about that. When we were married about 12 years ago in the Highly Church, Dana and I took a scripture which we wanted to be for our married life together, and maybe I'll ask Dana to read Psalm 67.
Psalm 67 says, God, be merciful to us and bless us. Look on us with kindness, so that the whole world may know your will, so that all nations may know your salvation. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, because you judge the peoples with justice and guide every nation on earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. The land has produced its harvest. God, our God, has blessed us. God has blessed us. May all the people everywhere honor him.
And about a year after getting married, the Lord allowed Dana and I to go to the country of Uganda, which is about as far away from Hilo as any place could possibly be. It's about 13,000 miles away. And we spent there 8 years in the ministry of training pastors. Probably one of the best-known Ugandans around the world is a man named Idi Amin, who was the dictator president of that country from 1971 to 79. And those were terrible years in which many people lost their lives through persecution of the church and just real anarchy that really tore the country apart. And we were fortunate when we were there, he had already been gone for a couple of years, but the troubles still remained. There was another leader named Obote who also took the lives of many Ugandans. And much of the 8 years that we were there were very troubled years politically and economically and socially. And yet spiritually, they were years of revival. Uganda is a Christian country, and I say that knowing that's a debatable term, but I say a Christian country because about 85% of the population professes to be Christian, and the Lord is working there. The largest church is the Catholic Church, of claiming about 40% of the population. And then the second largest is the Anglican church with about 35%. That's the largest Protestant church, 35% of the population. And then there are Pentecostal and Baptist and Presbyterian denominations as well. And our ministry was working with the Anglican church, teaching in a theological seminary where we both taught, both men and women, in training leaders. We finished there in 1990 and came back to Hailey. And as we were approaching a sabbatical from the ministry that we were granted at Hailey, we received a letter of invitation. Maybe Dana can share a little bit of that invitation.
Well, while we worked in Uganda, we worked through the Church of Uganda, which is an Anglican church. And at the time we were training pastors in the college, the bishop of one of the dioceses had invited us to come and do ministry for 3 months there in Uganda, in his particular diocese. So the bishop, Meseri Kaoma, invited us to come and work in the Namirimbi diocese, which is a very large diocese in the country, about 55 parishes, which would include in each parish maybe anywhere from 10 to 12 churches. And so we were excited when he had written to us and said, would you come and be with us and to help us do this ministry? And so that began the process of what do we do next? And so we went about writing a letter to our friends and contacting different people and sharing with them about our desire to go for these 3 months during June, July, and August. And so we sent out this letter, and we realized that just to fly over to Uganda and back was going to cost us anywhere from close to $9,000. And so we set our goal as a family. We began praying and had set up a chart with a each square representing a different $10. And as we prayed and as we received letters from our friends and supporters and even from our church at Hailey, people getting behind us to say, we want to pray for your ministry, we want to support you. And within 2 months, we were able to get the money that we were needed for us to go out. But even as we had written to our former mission organization that we went with, Africa Inland Mission, they were more than excited to have us come back to reactivate our status as volunteers for those 3 months. And so we went through the process and got our plane tickets and our prayer supporters and people encouraging us, even to the point as we packed and left Hawaii on May 31st.
When we left Hawaii, we went up for about a week in the mainland in California. And in the church where we spoke in California, one of the members is a sportsman, and he was able to arrange a donation from a sporting goods company of about 58 soccer balls. And that is a tremendous sport, and it's the national sport of Uganda, what we call soccer, what they call football. And with the World Cup going on and all the enthusiasm, it was really a joy to be able to give out a ball, which was a great treasure. The people over there usually just use a ball made out of banana leaves that are wrapped tightly together. And so to have a real soccer ball brought a lot of smiles and joy into the lives of many young people. And we were able to give it out through the churches and the ministries with youth that are going on over there. Most of what we did this summer divided into three different areas of ministry. We worked in schools, and we worked preaching and ministering in local churches, and we worked with pastors and their wives who were involved in ministry. And one of the great joys was to go back to the country where we had taught in a seminary and to actually see a number of our students in ministry and hearing the great things that God was doing in and through them. And so we had a particular focus with the pastors and their wives. And Dana was involved in teaching women and encouraging them to continue on in ministry, and I was with the men, and we'd spent several conferences doing that kind of ministry with them.
I think as I spoke with a lot of the pastors' wives, one of the things that impressed me a lot is the real desire and hunger for training. Many of them were not very trained in the Bible, and so they were really excited to even have a time where we could look into the Word and challenge them and to encourage them. And even though they struggle, just as we here in America and Hawaii struggle living the Christian life, many of these women struggle even more to survive, just to live and to take care of their families and worry about school fees. And yet they still have a real joy, a genuine joy and sincerity as they serve the Lord, even in difficult situations.
Pastors in Uganda have a very difficult work. A typical pastor is in charge of usually a minimum of about 10 congregations. And those churches are not small. In fact, a small church in Uganda would be a church of a couple hundred members. And so here you have a man responsible for 10 churches of several hundred members each, meaning that he is responsible for thousands of Christians for Sunday ministry and all the other important ministries that come up in the life of a pastor. And they really work hard. They have very limited resources. Their salaries are low. No Ugandan pastor has a motorized vehicle of any kind, with a very few exceptions, but most all of them, the best they have are a bicycle to get them from place to place, and they are responsible for feeding their very large families, many times through having to care for their own gardens and raising their own food. And so the life of a Ugandan pastor is very difficult and busy.
One of the things that I wanted to share that we had an opportunity to do was to go to where we first worked in Arua, which is about 300 miles northwest of Kampala. And we were invited to share in a Scripture Union young people's conference where Mark spoke to these young people. Over 1,000 attended these meetings, and I was involved in the children's ministry. And what excitement in the air, as we've seen many young people during their school holiday was willing to come for a week of just being encouraged and being challenged in the Word. And I was most excited because I was able to see many of those that I was involved with in Sunday school over the years, and to see them excited and growing in the Lord and to be leading. Oh, we had over 400 kids in one tiny room, and just singing and shouting and loving the Lord, and to be able to share with them the Word of God. It was exciting and a real testimony to my boys as they sat there, just seeing the joy on these children's eyes as they were challenged from His Word. And it was exciting to be involved, even speaking, just greeting them and telling them that the Lord loves them no matter where they are, that God loves them and that God wants them as His child.
Here in America, there's such restrictions, as we know, against any religion in schools, but it's just the opposite in Uganda. Isn't it ironic that we would think of Africa as a primitive country, and yet the doors are wide open to the gospel, so much so that during the months that we were there, we were in over 25 schools, and when we would arrive at the school, the principal would stop the daily program and gather together all of the students and even the staff for the preaching of the gospel. And sometimes the leaders of the school would get up and preach the gospel far better than we would. And just their own testimony and Christian faithfulness. There's no such thing as a secular school in Uganda. It really they're wide open, and the influence of the gospel has made a difference. You don't hear of some of these social ills like abortion and homosexuality and all these problems that are facing our nation. They're totally foreign to Uganda, and there's a real opportunity to grow in Christian faith in the schools.
One of the things that also impressed us was being away 4 years. We had seen so much of the country getting back on its feet and seeing many things going well, more businesses. People are no longer afraid to be on the streets. The security is much better. You can get more supplies, and the electricity is dependable. And we were really encouraged by staying with the bishop and his family. And, you know, many times as missionaries, there is times of discouragement, there's times of joy, but it was really a full plateful as we spent the time with this bishop, as he was so generous to us, as we were living with him and eating our meals with them, but at the same time being able to meet a lot of the people as they came for encouragement from him. We were able to meet with them and even extend our friendship to them. And it was really a real learning time for each member of our family.
Mm. Sunday mornings were always a great joy over there. The churches are full in Uganda. In fact, nearly all the churches have several services on Sunday morning. And there's some English services and some in the vernacular languages. And both of us were involved in ministry. In fact, Dana was preaching in a couple of churches. So I told her that now that I'm back here at Haile, she'll do my work for me. And there's lots of ministry that is in the churches. In fact, we were busy every Sunday preaching a number of times, sometimes in a couple different churches on a Sunday. But it was such a joy to worship the Lord with brothers and sisters who sang out with their whole hearts in praise to God, and we were busy, but we were very refreshed and very thankful to just see what God is doing in that country.
But even though we hear of a lot of exciting things that have happened in this country, there are still a lot of prayer needs, a lot of areas where we need to commit to prayer. And as we think about Uganda, AIDS is a very big problem there, and we were able to see how families are affected by this disease. And yet there is still joy as they come to faith in knowing that there is a God that loves them. And so even though AIDS, as we've heard, it's a very bad situation in Uganda, we want to even commit these families as they see their loved ones being taken by this disease.
Mm. It's very typical when somebody finds they have AIDS that the church surrounds them with love, and there's sharing of the gospel of everlasting life, and many people who are dying of AIDS receive Christ as Savior. And it really is ravaging the country. There's one estimate that perhaps as many as one-third of the population is HIV positive, which is just beyond belief. But it's a country of about 17.5 million. And we saw that. I mean, many churches are having funerals every day with young people who've lost their lives. And typically then the spouse loses their life and their young children, and It's a bittersweet situation, knowing that many of them are entering the presence of the Lord, but just tragic to think of all the loss that their death represents. And the only restraint on the spread of this heterosexual AIDS is through the churches. In fact, this summer, the president's wife, Janet Museveni, who is a very strong Christian, launched the True Love Waits campaign for the country of Uganda, where young people are challenged to abstain from sexual relations until marriage. And, of course, that's the only cure for them to find safety in the protection of the Lord Jesus and in faithfulness in Him. And so we need to really pray for God to give grace to people in that country. Of course, we've read and seen the sufferings of their neighbor country of Rwanda. Everything you've read and seen is true. The sufferings are just incredible. We did not see those ourselves, but we heard a number of firsthand reports of people who have just been in Rwanda, and it's beyond belief, and it just shows you what the human heart without Christ is like, and the great need of people to find the Lord. And pray especially for relief efforts, for care and other ministries that are going on in Rwanda. And we want to lift up those concerns as well.
Another prayer request for this country is for the leadership training. Many of our leaders, pastors, as they had come very faithfully to, even though transport was a problem, they came for the training, the day seminars that we led. And there's a real hunger and a real need in this area for more to be trained. Many pastors are fortunate to be able to go and get scholarship and to go outside of Uganda to study, but there are many pastors in very remote areas that aren't able to have the resources that we are able to have here, a Christian radio station, books and literature and tracts and all these things that we are fortunate to have. And yet, with what they are learning, we were fortunate to, Mark has written a young little booklet that we were able to pass out to the pastors, and letters that are written for new Christians. And so we were able to hand this out to pastors, and even a friend of Mark's had written a book on outlines for pastors that they could adapt to their need. And so and this is an area that we need to be praying for leadership training and for materials. And pray for our leaders. The president is doing a wonderful job in that country, keeping the country very stable. And with his wife, who is a very strong Christian woman, in pushing different campaigns for the work of the Lord, we're excited to see that. And many of our ministers, the ministers in the parliament, are Christians and are standing very firm for the Lord.
Mm.
So continue to pray for the leaders that are in that country.
Mm. So we praise God for a wonderful summer in Uganda. And I know that a number of you were praying for us, and we were so grateful, because we know that the Lord says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we thank Him for His blessings. The whole time we were there, we were healthy, as our whole family of five of us were well and healthy, and we're grateful for that. And we traveled around the country, sometimes in very poor vehicles, you would laugh if you saw some of the things that ways we were getting around the country, and yet in all that, God was able to take care of us, and so we just want to give Him the glory and give Him the praise, and it just encourage all of us who know the Lord Jesus. We are called to serve Him, and we're here to serve Him in Hilo. This perhaps being our Jerusalem, but we are responsible for even the ends of the earth. And so may God help each one of us in our homes and in our churches and schools to lift up His name and to represent the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to our community. And I pray that God will help us to do that highly, and that his blessing would be upon each church and each fellowship here in Hilo. And by way of announcement, I just like to encourage my fellow pastors, if you're listening, or if you can let your pastor know, today at 3 in the afternoon, we will be having a meeting of pastors at Hiley to plan together a prayer meeting for Life Chain. There will be a prayer meeting on Friday night, September 30th, at 6 o'clock at the Mohio Park Bandstand. And we need you to come together to help us plan that today. And I know that many of you are already preparing and praying about that Life Chain, Sunday, October 2nd. And we just pray that God will bless it. And we want to just rejoice in the Lord. Africa is a land rejoicing in the hope of the gospel. And we want to close our sharing with a song by Christians in South Africa, saying Jabulani Africa, which in Zulu means rejoice. And so we pray that with our brothers and sisters there, we would rejoice in Jesus Christ. So God bless you.
Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa.
In case some of you tuned in late, our guests this morning were Pastor Mark Blair and his wife Dana. We're so glad to see them back from 3 months in Africa. Any of you that were listening really enjoyed hearing what's going on in that other part of the world. He says that's just about as far from Hilo as you can get and stay on this globe. And I would remind folks again, if you are looking for a good place to go to church services, they're having Sunday morning service at 10:30 and at 9:30, a service in the Kahio Chapel down Kekaha. But beginning on the 2nd of October, they'll be back to their regular twice morning 8:30 and 11 a.m. services, and this is at the Hiley Church. I think everybody knows where the Hiley Church is. Thank you, Mark and Dana. This is KFSH Hilo, Hawaii, 97.1 on your radio dial. Now we have the program Back to the Bible.
Want to determine when you are getting enough of God's Word to keep you from spiritually dehydrating, here's a little rule of thumb you could use.